Perfectly Sane Show is hosted by Vagary.tv. Check out all the other Vagary.tv podcasts for a chance to win an Xbox 360 Kinect. And check out our sponsor, GoDaddy.com, using the code PSANE5 for a chance off. There's no chance. I don't know what I'm talking about. What the hell? There's no chance. If you use the code, you'll get $5 off of $30 on a purchase there. Just do it. Give us a little bit of a Chicago, Jeff.
I'm in the hood, up to no good.
That's not Chicago.
Not at all. Come on, give us a little bit of If You Leave Me Now.
Oh, Chicago. I thought you wanted some fucking street shit.
No, not at all.
No, you don't know anything about
it. Let's get it. Street shit.
Show episode number 26. I am here,
Mr. usual, Magoo.
Yes, your usual host, Mr. Magoo. And we have a special guest this week, Miss Sarah.
Hello, guys.
What's up?
Welcome.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, here as in.
Here as in. In
internet land.
Yeah.
World.
My home.
We found girl.
Yes, and in addition to Sarah, we have the rest of the crew. Fozzie.
Yo, yo.
Tony.
I guess I'm here.
And Jeff.
Or El Jefe.
Or El Jefe.
So, Sarah, why don't you tell our listeners a little about yourself?
Okay, well, obviously, I'm a real female, believe it or not.
You sound like it.
Well, sometimes I get the whole little boy thing.
when you play Halo?
Mostly, yeah. I'm just debunking that myth right now, so no one's confused. I'm female. I've been gaming since I was 4, and recently, I guess, what kind of got me into all this is I was called by IGN's Game Scoop Knockin' Boots podcast.
Yes. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, it's a really long, funny story, which I won't get into because it's very complicated.
All right, just tell us the funny part.
Yeah, well, anyway, I gave Knockin' Boots my number, and they ended up calling me, and we talked for a good 10 minutes, and by the end of it, they asked me to go out with the podcast, so I'm the official girlfriend of the Knockin' Boots podcast, somehow.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so like that's all you need to know about celebrity. Me. Yeah, it's very strange.
That's different.
It happens.
Like, I don't think our podcast has an official anything.
No.
We're in a relationship with Vagary.
I'm working on an official theme song. You guys won't listen to me.
We're not going to listen to your... Actually, I do kind of like it, though. If we had an intro, if anything, I definitely want it to be like a basketball intro. That's that music in the background. We'll talk about this later. Oh, man. That's good stuff.
We're off to a solid start.
When you guys start editing the show, you can put whatever intro you want in. Until then.
Jeff, let's work on it, and then we'll toss it to Chris, see if he likes it.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Awesome.
All right.
Oh, God, us. This is pure gold.
The Knockin' Boots podcast going to be a little upset that you're cheating on them?
Oh, I'm not cheating on anyone. I'm not dating you guys.
Yeah, but, well, it's actually more of a, like, complicated relationship with them.
Wait, so we're in the friend zone? Is that what you're saying?
Right. We're always in the friend zone.
Yeah, this is the perfectly sane show, okay?
We're only allowed to have...
like GameScoop, you know?
We're only allowed to have friends in the mental institution anyway.
Oh, God.
Chris Ratchet is cracking down.
Yeah. So, Sarah, what have you been playing recently?
Well, I'm a huge Dead Space fan, so I've been pretty much fully absorbed in Dead Space 2. I've beaten it twice now. I would have beaten it more, but school kind of gets in the way. But it's been great fun, and I'm absolutely in love with it. It's greatly improved on the first, and multiplayer is tons of fun.
So, I think I'm the only other one that's played it so far on the show. And I haven't played multiplayer, so why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, well, it's very comparable to if any of you played Left 4 Dead's multiplayer. I actually prefer it, though, because it's a team of four engineers, four people that look like Isaac Clarke. And basically what you're trying to do is complete some sort of objective and survive, while another team of four who are posing as the necromorph alien bad guys are trying to, you know, destroy you.
Peace. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's pretty sweet.
It's not just, you know, randomly going around and getting kills. You have to cooperate, and it takes a little bit of strategy to, help each other out. So communication is a must. If you don't have a mic, you're kind of screwed.
So does it get repetitive, though? Because I heard it kind of...
Well, no, because you switch every other round. Like, you play through as the humans, then you play through as the necromorphs. And it switches it up, and there's always different maps. And you're always unlocking as you rank up. You unlock new weapons and stuff like that. So it kind of switches up, and it's great fun. I mean, it hasn't really gotten repetitive for me yet. Like I said, I'm a super fan, though, so that might have something to do with it. But I haven't really heard that many complaints.
So, obviously, since you need a mic, you're playing this on the 360.
Yes, yeah. I'm playing. I actually own for both 360 and PS3, though. Yeah, well, I have friends who have both, have either or, and I want to be able to play with everyone. So I got a little crazy and got a copy for both.
That's awesome. I see what you're saying.
Do you use smoke signals to talk with your friends on the PS3?
Okay, funny, I actually haven't even played with any of my PS3 friends yet.
Oh, shit.
It's because
they can't communicate with
you. Probably, yeah, it's probably for good reason.
I haven't really considered how that's going to work out, but I'll figure something out. We'll get radios.
Get tin cans, you know.
Tin cans, yeah.
Good old days.
Classy stuff.
So does the multiplayer actually add anything to the gameplay, though? Or, like, if you don't want to play the multiplayer, are you getting enough with Dead Space 2 single-player campaign?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The single player on its own, it's great. I mean, it starts off from the get-go just really dramatic and intense and crazy, and you like survival horror and you like shooters and action, whatever, you're really gonna like it. It's a really solid single player mode, and I'm already playing through it. I'm on my third playthrough.
See, Jeff, you should get it.
I'm gonna want to get it. I'm gonna get it when it's cheaper, though. I'm trying to save money.
It's worth it.
I believe you. I love the first one, so I have no doubt that it's
amazing. I want to beat.
You should trade in all those crappy Wii games you have.
Epic Mickey, get that.
Epic Mickey.
I'm not trading that. Are you kidding me?
I liked Epic Mickey.
See, she's with me on that. She backed me up on that.
Would it be your game of the year?
Epic Mickey? No, God, no.
Okay, see that.
Sarah, we talked about this on Tiny Chat.
You just got
You're
rocked.
Supposed to back me up.
I think she lied to you, actually.
Well, no, okay.
She never said game of the year.
It'd be Wii game of the year.
See?
But overall game of the year? Hell no.
Because that belongs to Pac-Man.
Well, let's pretend there was no Mass Effect, and there was no Red Dead Redemption, and there was no...
All right, so let's erase all the actual games.
Let's erase every other game last year. That's definitely game of the year.
Epic Mickey were the only game that came out last year. And yes,
top 15 games out of the equation. It's got to be Epic Mickey then, right?
I might still choose, like, the collector's edition of Chutes and Ladders or something.
Yeah, like Madden.
See, you don't understand, sir. These guys have been giving me so much shit about Epic Mickey, and they haven't even played it.
It's on my GameFly IQ. I'll play it one day.
It's like, really? Who plays their Wii?
That's true. I don't even know if mine works.
Yeah, plays with his
sometimes.
Wii.
So you've been playing anything else, Sarah?
Well, Reach, Halo Reach, occasionally, online.
Just kicked my ass on that.
Sorry, Jeff.
Wait, so you didn't see the skill that Jeff is always saying that he has?
Yeah, I pretty much destroyed him, I'm not gonna lie.
Jeff might have just been having a bad night.
Like, I stopped playing after like 3 rounds, I was like, man, I suck.
Jeff, have we played yet? Together?
Probably. Yeah, the other night when it was like 3 people playing at once.
Yeah,
that was badass.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, so I finally got my packaging back from, you know, Halo Reach, who was sipping pina coladas off of freaking, you know, Cuba or something. And I've been getting rocked, though. I mean, I suck at the game so far. It's like getting right back into it because I haven't played it. I'm excited to try playing it. I know that we're going to play against the T-Bag Radio, right?
Yes, yeah, oh yeah.
Start training for President's Day.
So, I think I need to get in some more playing time, man. Yeah. Everyone else is like a fucking general, though, shit. I'm a warrant officer.
I'm far behind. I haven't played.
I'm only a warrant officer grade 3, Foz.
Well, warrant officer is the hardest one to get through.
Really?
Yeah.
It needs the most amount of experience.
Oh wow, that's retarded. Because I mean, my leveling has like completely stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you hit captain, it's easy from there.
Yeah, it moves up. Oh. Like I hit major last week, and I should hit major grade 2 like the next time I log on.
Right.
So I'm moving on up there. It is a great game, and we are gonna
kick
T-Bag Radio's ass.
Yeah. You think that they should find another one, like a ringer or something?
Well, not a ringer.
They should definitely find a fourth person.
I think they should get, a little autistic kid.
Autistic?
Now they're cheaters. Ringer,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I hear.
God.
I think we should, last PAX East, they had a Halo 3 tournament. I think that if they have a Reach tournament, 4 of us should hook up and join in when we're at PAX East together.
Sure, yeah, we can be some by a bunch of 14-year-olds.
Yeah,
I'll probably be drunk.
Why do you have a probably in there? Jeff will be drunk.
Jeff is going to like sneak a fucking like one of those the fuck am I thinking?
A flask?
The flask, yeah.
If you see me on the show floor, snap a picture, because you ain't gonna see me again.
I'm gonna have to tag Jeff with like a GPS locator beacon so I can find him. Like,
yeah, no shit. Oh my god.
Tony.
Yes, sir.
You've been playing some basketball.
NBA 2K11, and I gotta say it's the best basketball game I have ever played. It is awesome in every way.
So it's better than Double Dribble?
it's much better than Double Dribble, yes.
NBA or, Jam.
NBA Jam. Dribble. Anything like that. Infinitely better. Jeff keeps bringing up the intro to the Chicago Bulls. Well, the game starts off, when you first put it into your console, it goes directly to that song, and Jordan standing in the tunnel. And then he runs out onto the court for game 1 of his first NBA Finals.
Oh, shit.
And it tosses you right into the game. It was incredible. I have never been, my jaw hit the floor watching the whole spectacle. It was so amazing. Of course, I've spent the past week trying to get through the Jordan challenges. I'm on the last one now, so I should have those done. But it's been so much fun. They spent so much time putting in every little detail they could find from the old Jordan games, like from changing the color of Dennis Rodman's hair from game to game, to getting Larry Bird's ugly little jump shot down. it's authentic in almost every way, and I've had so much fun playing it.
Have you played any of the multiplayer for it, or?
I've actually played nothing but the Jordan Challenge. I play. There's online multiplayer, There is create a player, which you can also take those players online. I mean, there's a full franchise mode. The Jordan Challenge mode, I mean, I put probably 10, 11 hours into it already. Of course, I'm out. It offered an awful lot of content for a sports game.
Shit. Yeah, I really want to get it too. I put that on my games like, whatever the status list things are.
It's only $40 on Amazon right now.
Is it?
Yeah, having actually tried it, I say that's a must buy.
Now, here's my question.
I want to try it out first, though. Yeah.
Is there a Space Jam mode?
Well, you could, if you wanted to, turn up all the sliders so you can dunk from everywhere and shoot three-point half court.
They have sliders like that?
Can you dunk with Bugs Bunny and Marvin the Martian?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I play as Bugs Bunny?
I don't think you can.
Fuck that, I want to be a Monstar. Those guys are badass.
Everybody knows Michael Jordan was the best player on that team anyway, so... And you
Space Jam was great. Yeah, Bill Murray in it. It's fucking hilarious. And it totally ragged on his baseball career.
Oh, yeah.
Who, Jordan?
Him and his .213 batting average or whatever the hell it was. Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, you play anything else, Tony?
That was pretty much it. I did go a few rounds of Europa Universalis Rome, but we don't have to talk about that.
All right.
Oh God, that sounds god awful.
Jeff, what have you been up to?
Just playing more Mass Effect 2. I haven't really had time for anything else. So that was just say there. Everyone's played that multiple times. So
I've never heard of it. Could you tell us more about it?
I don't know, it's like this space thingy.
Like Star Wars?
Kind of, yeah. And there's guns and stuff. You shoot stuff and you talk to people.
So, I heard there's lesbians.
Like Halo. People? Oh,
wait,
shit.
There's lesbians?
Yeah.
No.
There better be. I'll tell you that much. Because I made a female shepherd and I really want to have sex with Jack. Like, that's my
I think you're going to be disappointed because I don't think there are lesbians in the second game.
I have been assured that I could have sex with Jack as a female shepherd.
Whoever said that was very, very wrong and misinformed.
That's bullshit.
Jeff doesn't want to hear this. She likes me too much.
I've sided with her on everything. I go down to the little basement room on the ship after every mission to go talk to her.
That's funny because my last playthrough, she was the one who died.
Yeah, she died on my last playthrough too.
I wish she died.
I kind of love
I
her.
I didn't
now.
Feel bad about it. I was like, oh, she died. Jesus. Thank God.
She cost me my shot at Miranda.
I don't think that she... Oh, I got you. I know what scene you're talking
bitch.
About.
Oops.
I don't think That's that... I think she should have been a lot more powerful. Because when you look at, you know, her past stories and everything, she is tearing the bases absolutely up. But in the game, she's not that powerful.
I think she's pretty good.
She's okay, but I feel like the Asari and Miranda are both more powerful than Gia.
Yeah.
Well, Samara kicks her. Ass.
She's my lover. You guys could have your Asari.
They are fucking awesome, dude. Shadow Broker was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to bang Jacob, Jeff.
I probably, if I have to, I'm going to, but I mean...
You're going to settle for Jacob?
Don't. You can't settle for Jacob.
That? I think I'm actually in love with Jack, man. I want to protect her and make love to her. She's so punk.
Oh, God.
Jeff, you probably pick Jack every time, don't you?
No, the first game I took Miranda, and I actually sided with Miranda in the fight, and I banged her and everything, and Jack wouldn't talk to me for the rest of the game. And I always wanted to make that up to her, because she seems like just a hurt little lost soul.
Aw, Jeff has such a nice heart.
Really does.
Big old teddy bear.
Yes. So if you haven't played Mass Effect or Mass Effect 2, both Amazon and Best Buy are running like a buy one
some
get
spoilers,
one half price deal. So.
Why would you just delete that 5 minutes you just listened to?
No, we're gonna leave that in. The game's a year old. Fuck that.
We like.
Oh no. Yeah. No. Never mind.
It's been out for over a year. If you haven't played Mass Effect yet, then...
If you're playing it on the PS3, well, you're playing it wrong.
Thank you.
You need to import your save for the first game.
Chris, it has Mass Effect 3 graphics.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I heard Ryan from PBay say it's not good.
No, they just had a side-by-side thing on, like, you know, Game Trailers does that all the time. And I couldn't tell a difference. I looked everywhere, every little stitch, and they're like, oh, the shading's so much better. I was like, what the fuck are you looking at? I see no difference.
If I can't tell the difference, and somebody else is telling me that there's a difference, then it doesn't actually matter what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. So, whatever.
So,
I'm happy with the Xbox one.
But a game that you do play properly on the PS3 is Killzone 3, and I've been playing a little bit of the beta for that multiplayer beta. When it works, which is about 40% of the time at this point. It's pretty good. They changed the controls around a bit. It's not so sluggish. Kind of controls a little more like Call of Duty, which I'm not entirely sure I enjoy that or not. But it's still solid multiplayer game. It's if you're not a Call of Duty fan and you're looking for a PS3 multiplayer shooter, it's probably your best bet at this point. It's fun. I suck at it. A lot.
I was really bad at the second one. And I'm pretty bad at this one too.
But I like playing they have that objective based mode where it really quickly goes through like the different objectives.
I like the objective base in the second one too.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Yeah, and it's like, so you don't always have to be trying to kill somebody all the time. Like you can be going to like lay a bomb in one area, or
I like the assassination ones where you have to protect one dude and like everyone's coming after him. It's fun when especially when you're the target, dude.
Like hiding in a corner hoping your king pulls it out.
You're just like crouched, and then you got like five guys fucking just right there, armed to the teeth.
And they've I don't know how much of the second one you guys played, but the level progression in that kind of sucked.
Yeah, definitely.
You had to like play so much. You had to play so much to get to a level, and that's how you unlocked your classes. And it never felt like you were really making a choice in how you wanted to play. So now, every time you level up, you get points to use to level up your different classes. You have all the classes available from the get-go. And each, like, there's different weapons for each class, kind of like Battlefield style. And, like, you can put 2 points into a new gun, or you can put, like, a point into getting a turret for your engineer. It works a whole lot better. It's more rewarding. It makes you want to play it more. So I'm looking forward to when that finally actually releases in a couple weeks.
Now, did it have a single player mode?
No, right now it's just the multiplayer beta.
Just multiplayer, gotcha. Okay. Cool.
For the beta, right?
Yeah. It's just a multiplayer beta at this point, which is really just a multiplayer demo. Like, I don't know why they're calling it a beta, but it comes out February 22nd, I believe. So.
Oh man, that game.
I believe that's correct.
Same weeks day later as Bulletstorm.
Yeah, that's gonna be a interesting day.
I would definitely take Killzone though.
If you only can play one, Killzone is probably the better of the two titles. But if you only have a 360, Bulletstorm's kind of your only option. So.
Exactly.
So. I'm curious to see how the move controls are for Killzone.
I don't have a move, so and I.
They
have
I don't either yet.
Move compatible.
It is move compatible.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't have it either, so I can tell you.
It'll
I
probably might be get just one like the Wii.
Really?
I would imagine it'd be like the Wii.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'd want to play like a multiplayer shooter that way. Like maybe.
Yeah, I don't think I'd prefer it, but I'm just curious to see how they made it work. Yeah.
Maybe,
but
like single player wise, it'd probably be fine. But.
If you're playing multiplayer, will they mix it up so that like when you're playing, it'll be some people are playing with Move controllers and some people are using a standard DualShock or like, you know what I mean? Like how will they do that?
That would be very fair.
Yeah,
it would be interesting to see who's better, you know, like, because they do that in, like, Mario Kart. They'll show, like, who's playing with what, you know?
Right. There was actually I don't know if you guys remember, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, game on the Xbox 360 called Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the big hook to that, it was, you know, very generic class-based shooter with limited maps, but the big hook to that was that it had cross-platform play between the PC and the 360, and you could clearly tell who was playing on a PC and who was playing with a controller, because the people with the controllers died a whole lot more.
Exactly.
which made it a little unfair. But
yeah, cross-platform for the like a PC and console for a first-person shooter is like almost not even fair.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it would be with the Move controller, I think. Like, so I'm just wondering how they're going to work that out.
See, I'm not...
You think?
I'm not so... Like, maybe aiming-wise, it might be a little better, but I don't think you move quite... I don't think you'd be able to move as quick.
I don't think it'll be as fluid.
Yeah, like... I mean, when you're playing with the mouse and keyboard, you're using your left hand to, you know, do WASD, and then your right hand on the mouse to aim. When you're using, like, the Move controller or like a Wii and like the nunchuck, your left hand is kind of doing the analog, and then your right hand is kind of aiming, and like, I don't know, I have a problem doing it fast enough that it never quite worked for me, but you might be right, Jeff.
See,
the other game I've been playing also on the PS3 is a little top down zombie shooter called Dead Nation.
so much fun.
Yeah, it is quite a bit of fun. It's completely ridiculous story. Like, there's no reason to play it for the story, but there's just tons and tons of zombies, and I think I played, like, the one level and, like, mowed down, like, 1,300 zombies in, like, 15 minutes, and you get weapons, you upgrade them, and it's lots of stuff blowing up, and brains everywhere, and it's quite a bit
of fun.
Sounds awful. Is it kind of like a Smash TV type thing, or...?
You know, it's. You played the Lara Croft game, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
So think kind of like that, but with tons more enemies.
So there's puzzles and stuff?
No, it's just a lot of shooting. So no puzzles, just like the shooting type mechanics.
Meh.
It's fun. Meh. It's fun if you like mowing down zombies.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, so it works. Fozzie, what have you been playing?
Not too much that hasn't already been said.
He's been playing the mold game.
Yeah, mold game.
Give us your two-minute impression of Meijin and the Forsaken Kingdom.
The intro was incredibly boring. I could not keep focused at it whatsoever. And then I was this little dude, and there's this giant freaking creature that apparently he helps me out do stuff. And then by that time, I was just like, oh man, Netflix, I should check that out and see what's on there. And I watched like 6 episodes of South Park. So when I say 2 minutes, literally it was 2 minutes. I saw the intro and I saw like the guy, and I was instantly, I don't know what happened.
So you didn't even fight the dudes that were right at the beginning?
No. Dudes, no.
See, I played the demo for that, and something about the combat was really clunky. Like, I didn't like it.
Well, I'll go to it eventually, but I still haven't even touched Dead Space. I really only had time for Reach, and
Tiny Chat.
I beat Tiny Chat.
Less time in Tiny Chat, more gaming. That's
that is true. That is true. It's fucking, it's like crack right now.
It's a disease.
It is. Jeff, help me.
Hey, I'm in the same boat with you, man. Robust fucking lifesaver.
Fucking Chris and Tony are going like we're going to pretend we're going to go to a podcast one time. It's really just an intervention for us. I have been playing a lot of like iPhone games. I beat Infinity Blade, which a lot of people said was repetitive, but I like the RPG aspect where you had to change up your armor, your swords, and every sword did something different, and the graphics super sweet. I was like, holy shit, on a fucking iPhone or a fucking phone.
I heard it's kind of
crazy.
Like, kind of like Punch Out.
Yeah, exactly. It is, and it's kind of cool. You don't have to worry about moving and stuff. You're just worrying about one fucking fight. It's just you and this dude. And it may sound boring, but it's sweet because like you can parry them and stuff, and the parry is actually you have to time right because they'll come at you fast or slow, and if you're off by half a second, they'll fuck you over. So, I mean, they make it interesting, and for $6, I will shell this out. I've gone at least 10 hours of gameplay out of it. That's more than I could save for some $40 games I've bought before.
I wish I could get it to work on my phone.
Do you have iPhone, though?
I do, but I don't want to upgrade to iOS 4.
Oh, I gotcha.
Because it sucks, and I have to.
Yes. It is amazing, though. It's well worth it. Besides that, I also beat Game Dev Story. And that game was a lot of fun, but towards the end, it kind of sucks. By the time you get to year 13... No, seriously. I mean, the first 10 years, which is a good 6 or 7 hours, it's amazing. But by year 13, you're making an award-winning... Like, it doesn't matter what category or what, like, you know, two things you use to mix and match. You're going to get, like, a Hall of Fame game is what they call it. And so you're just making millions of millions of dollars at this point. There's no need to, like, strategize. You're just throwing away money whenever you want.
So you're Activision.
Pretty much, yeah. Because you can't upgrade your office and it, like, pass it 3 times. But that first, like, 10 to 12 years is fucking fun as shit. So I think I'm just going to start a new game, you know, just from scratch. See what other combinations I can make, because that's the cool part about it.
I've heard a lot of good things about it, but something to me just screams out that this is the most boring concept for a game ever.
It's really... You would think that, but it's really not. It's... I don't know. There's just something simplistic about it, and just the 8-bit feeling to it. I think that you would really enjoy it. And for $2.99, that's half of that.
Good fast food place.
You can spend $2.99 to at least get this a shot.
Alright, maybe I will.
Yeah, doggy.
Alright, why don't we jump into some news real quick. I don't think we have a ton of it. So, Tony, what do we got?
Well, we have an interesting story of a boy...
okay.
He's an 11-year-old boy. His mother had paid for his membership on Xbox Live with her debit card. Her card information was saved to his Xbox. Over the course of the next 6 months, he made over 1,000 pounds worth of charges to the card.
Oh my God.
I heard about this.
Wow.
And the woman is now blaming Microsoft.
Oh my God!
Of course she is.
Not having sufficient tools in place to stop this from happening.
Wow, that's so fucked up.
Meanwhile, this kid has like every item for his avatar.
Right.
Well, they don't make it easy. They don't make it easy to remove payment options and stuff too, though. You know what I mean?
That is true.
But you can password protect everything on 360. Like it's
absolutely.
Yeah, and she could have bought
parental
like
controls. You fucking idiot.
She could have bought like a
bought
year
with those cards
card.
And
or she could look at her bank account. Cheaper. She could have looked at her bank account at some point in the time.
Right. Being like, why are all these charges for Microsoft?
Hey, 200 on Xbox Live. Oh, whoop-de-whoop. Better go have some tea now.
Her best quote, though, Brendan is 11 and knows his times tables, but it was only when I explained to him how much money he had actually spent that he burst into tears, unplugged his Xbox, and said he didn't want it anymore.
Yeah, right.
That didn't happen.
Shit. Bullshit. He knew his timetables. What the?
He knew exactly what he was doing.
He might know his times tables, but his mother evidently knew how to balance a checkbook, so.
He was like, Mommy, you get to buy all the booze you want. How come I can't buy my games? I'm sure it was something more like that.
Yeah.
She also hasn't punished him yet. He's not punishing him because it's Microsoft and the bank.
That's okay.
I hope Microsoft gives him, like, free shit or something for being a really good customer.
I'm a really good customer. Like, I don't want this to
right, where's my free shit? Microsoft has
but
so much
been in the news?
I can be.
We can rectify that.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of which, wasn't Microsoft going to give us rewards for like the money that we spend with them? Like, weren't we supposed to get points to download?
Yes.
That program is ongoing, but the fact is that most of the stuff you get points for are things you don't do very often. Like
Tony.
Renewing your membership or buying certain games. I don't even know that any of them have been selected.
Tony,
I want a free Beyond Good and Evil, god damn it.
This is what you have to do, Matt. You have to take a picture of your baby holding onto your controller, spend like $10,000 worth on Xbox, and be like, dude, the baby freaking... How's the baby supposed to know about money? You know, and you don't password protect this shit. And then you'll get $10,000 worth of money.
He actually picked up my controller today and almost bought the Call of Duty first.
I saw that. So, hey, maybe the baby did that a couple thousand times. Who knows? But they owe you.
This is like when that dog bought about a bunch of shit a while ago.
Yeah. What? Some dog did that?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that? There was some... I forget the story exactly. It was a while ago, but some dog, like, chewed on this controller, bought, like, the same kind of thing. He bought, like, thousands of dollars worth of stuff.
He's like, this controller is good.
Yeah. Right? But Microsoft ended up giving him, the dog, his own gamer tag and refunded the guy. I don't know. I don't know how this happened. It was
like Microsoft, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was
Microsoft
fun.
Has the money. They're like, oh, shit, $1,000? That's not even a fucking
game. They should have made a commercial out of that, man. Even dogs love Xbox Live. Can't get enough.
There's Jeff the marketing.
Dude, I'm like Don Draper over here.
I was about to say that. I was like, whenever I think of
man.
Marketing plan.
Got my whiskey.
Yeah, doggy.
Speaking what kind of whiskey are you drinking?
Seagram's.
Quality.
Dude, that's quality. My favorite. Don't even...
Jeffrey.
I've had more expensive whiskeys that I like less than Seagram's, so...
Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Take one with me.
Yeah, doggy.
All right, Tony, what do we got next?
This next piece of news... lineup for its house party promotion. And, the big ticket item comes out on March 2nd, Beyond Good and Evil HD for 8 Microsoft points.
800, yeah.
That's not bad. That's
I was surprised. I figured it'd come out in 1200.
Yeah, that's what
so
I was expecting.
That's a must-buy, I think.
Absolutely, it is.
And that Torchlight comes out, 2 weeks later, right?
Yeah, Torchlight is March 9th.
I thought these games were, one, supposed to come out in February,
yeah,
so what the fuck? And two, what are we getting between now and Beyond Good and Evil, like?
Yeah, but Torchlight's single player only, right?
I believe so.
The sequel will have co-op, and it'll be on live too.
Yeah, right? Man. Yeah. It better be on live. It reminds me of Diablo so much, I'm like, oh, I want that multiplayer.
Jeff, between now and Beyond Good and Evil, we get Hardcore Uprising. I have no idea what that is. On February 16th.
Sounds like a porn title.
Does that have any relation to Blast Corps?
Maybe. And the other game is Bejeweled Blitz on February 23rd.
Oh,
Bejeweled
shit.
Is always fun, so.
Dude, I'm always and Beyond Good and Evil. You guys
yeah,
better
get
Beyond Good and Evil.
Calm down.
Yeah, I'll be getting Beyond Good and Evil.
I'm not buying it. It's not a protest.
We'll have to, maybe we'll get a couple codes and we'll give them away on the show.
Oh.
Yeah, give me one.
Oh, boy.
Jeff's going right in. See, hey, guys. Long time listener. First time writer.
My name is Jeff and I live in Chicago. Beyond Good and Evil is a great game, although not as great as Epic Mickey.
We have to have
please make a Beyond Good and Evil set in Disneyland. Beyond Good and Disneyland. Excellent. Writes itself.
Alright, what's next on the list?
The last piece of news is the bloodbath that occurred today over at Activision on their conference call where they destroyed the entire world.
Okay. Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, a ton of news came out of this, mostly bad news. We'll go with the most obvious one is that Tony Hawk is indefinitely on hold. I'm sure you guys were all waiting for the next Tony Hawk game.
Well,
damn.
Was if they're going to go back to making a real Tony Hawk game, but that's a separate issue.
True Hawk Crime Hunter. Hong Kong didn't meet quality standards and was canceled.
Wow.
Which one went?
I bet you that thing was done too, you know?
Right.
It, like, I had seen a little bit of it and it looked pretty good. Like,
yeah, the gameplay trailer didn't look bad necessarily.
It looked like True Crime, yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Was it what you thought you'd get?
Apparently, they didn't think it was going to be good enough for Activision, which is saying a lot. I mean,
yes.
Oh, Activision.
Given some of the crap they've thrown out.
So they're not going to release it, huh?
Nope, not at all.
Wow, put all that development money into it, and
it was supposed to come out last September. I mean, I bet you it had to be done.
Oh, I'd be so pissed if I worked on it.
Right.
Well, Chris will be sad about this next part. DJ Hero has been discontinued, so
that's a shame. Bad. That was a fun game.
Yeah.
I'm not even a fan of music games. That makes me a little sad.
Dude, DJ Hero fucking kicked ass, man.
Yeah, but nobody bought it. It was like me and like two other people.
Right. By then, I think everyone was just so over, you know, music genre, so.
Speaking of the music genre, the biggest piece of news from the call.
Okay.
There is no 2011 Guitar Hero, and the Guitar Hero brand and business unit are being disbanded.
Yeah!
Bum, bum, bum.
Well, they had put, like, a ton of money into making, like, the Guitar Hero unit. They actually disbanded Red Octane, who came up with the Guitar Hero franchise with Harmonix. They disbanded them 2 years ago, I guess. And the writing's kind of been on the wall. I have a feeling that Guitar Hero itself isn't done, but we won't see another one for, you know, probably a few years.
Good.
Yeah, I think the market's oversaturated at this point.
And Rock Band is always the first thing everyone thinks of anyway. I mean, even like the casual people, they're like, oh, let's all go play Rock Band together. It's never about Guitar Hero. I mean, it used to be, but times have changed.
Yeah, but even then, like, Guitar Hero would still sell better than Rock Band, which was so weird. Like,
yeah, it's very weird.
I think of Guitar Hero first, but I don't...
I do, too.
Like, the last music game I bought, swear to God, was Guitar Hero 3. I do not care for that shit.
Guitar Hero 3 was great, though. And besides Metallica, there wasn't too many I was really fond of. My interest really started to dwindle once World Tour came out. I was like, this sucks. And then Guitar Hero 5 wasn't that much better, and then I'd even think about...
I thought 5 was actually pretty good.
You know, like, the good songs were fucking phenomenal,
and,
you know, but...
And they got away from... Like, World Tour was way too much like Rock Band. And 5 got away from that. They were like, you know, we're going to make this a game again. It's all about getting, like, tons of stars and unlocking shit. And but, yeah, the formula just kind of gets a little tired.
It did.
See, I wonder how much... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say my favorite was 2 because of Freebird. All because of Freebird. That was it.
Scanner.
I just wonder how much blame Activision takes for... You know,
killing
the demise.
Running it into the ground.
Yeah. They are the reason that, you know, the music industry is, the music genre is pretty much done.
Well, there may have been an underlying factor which wasn't talked about a whole lot, which was how much pressure the licensing fees and royalties put on them to actually make a lot of sales.
That's true.
Yeah, but if you look at Rock Band, like, they've made a quality release, and it was one or two a year at most. Like, look at Beatles Rock Band. You could tell they put a lot of work into that, and it was well done. It's just Guitar Hero. They're just shitting out, like, Country Track Pack Volume 2. Here you go. Enjoy. Like,
actually, that's Rock Band like who does Hero. That. They released...
They did the track packs?
They released the retail track packs.
Well, I mean, some of the Guitar Hero games were basically track packs and shit. Like,
they should have been.
Van Halen, which was they were.
Oh my god, Van Halen!
They gave Van Halen away for free.
Aerosmith wasn't that much better. There's not many that there's not too many songs I want to play by Aerosmith, but I still got that.
And the ones you want to play on Aerosmith weren't on that game.
Exactly. It made no sense. Metallica was great though. I think that was the best off spin out of the numbered ones.
I don't know. I have Warriors of Rock here, and I have Rock Band 3, and I have my back catalog of all my old downloadable songs. And
yeah, exactly, dude. It's not bad to I played it just a couple days ago, and I haven't played it in 3 or 4 weeks, and it's still enjoyable. But I think that what just basically happens is that we flooded that market so quick that it didn't really have time to grow whatsoever. I mean, like you're saying, they're shitting out 2 Guitar Hero games every year. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of enough songs to keep people interested.
At least two. It was 2 years ago, they released, 2 DS games.
Yeah.
And 3 or 4, core games. That was when Metallica came out, Smash Hits came out.
Smash Hits, yeah.
Guitar Hero 5, it was ridiculous. Band Hero, it was ridiculous that year.
Overkill.
Yeah.
At that point, you're competing with yourself. You've got so many products on the market, you kill the price of the stuff that's already on the market.
Exactly.
Which now is so cheap that people are buying that instead of the stuff you just released.
Yep. I just wish that somebody would buy these plastic instruments. I got so many of these goddamn plastic instruments lying around. Wish somebody would buy them back.
That's why I don't play music games. I have nothing lying around. It's wonderful.
Do you want 3 or 4 guitars? A drum kit?
No, I'm okay.
You sure?
He's just giving them away.
Do you want a turntable?
My wife about any gaming purchases I ever make, as long as I never buy any music games or play any MMOs. Those are the 2 rules.
MMOs.
Other than that, I can do whatever I want.
That's a pretty good deal, I guess. You're not missing too much out of those.
Yeah, she's a smart lady.
Yeah. She's an idiot. Consumer life. Yeah.
So, what else came out of that Activision
press? There were a bunch of layoffs. Let go of about 7% of their total workforce. So around 500 people.
Wow.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
I heard probably from Neversoft and Vicarious Visions.
Yeah, Neversoft is going to get the big hit, obviously, as the main producer.
Well, for Tony Hawk, right?
But they're no longer on Tony Hawk. They were strictly Guitar Hero.
Oh, shit.
Vicarious Visions was also a Guitar Hero. And Freestyle Games, I think, is the other one.
Freestyle Game, what?
The ones that did DJ Hero.
Right.
They got hit a bit, too.
Oh, true.
Yeah,
makes sense.
So on their competitor in the music industry, Harmonix, there's a new story about them, right?
Also hit by layoffs.
Yeah.
So
they only have about 40 people working for them, so layoffs at their company, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
But you got to figure they have to be a long way from a new product if that's how small their workforce is.
Right.
That's a good point.
That can be good, though. That's not a bad thought.
Well, I mean, if you have that little group and they're just focused on DLC and that sort of thing, maybe they could make it work.
Maybe we could just go back to listening to music like fucking normal people.
Shut it, Jeff. No one wants to hear it.
Come on, Jeff. We know you like to sing karaoke.
I do a little bit.
I think you would sing something for us right now if we asked you.
Def Jam rap star, baby.
Come on, give
rap for us.
Jam rap star. I can see Jeff with that. Plus, sound something.
Give us a little bit of Chicago, Jeff.
I'm in the hood, up's no good.
That's not Chicago.
Not at all. Come on, give us a little bit of If You Leave Me Now.
Oh, Chicago. I thought you wanted some fucking street shit.
No, not at all.
No, you don't know anything about
that. I forgot that street shit.
You do like my fucking rapping. If you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me. Ooh. baby. Please don't go.
Oh, this is too much.
Fozzie, why did you not join in, you son of a
bitch? I did join in at the end.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I think you should do it again.
That was Fozzie's sound harmony. Come on.
Alright, what's next?
That's all I had for news, so.
Alrighty, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, I think we all have a topic, and
I don't know if I do. See,
Jeff might not have a topic, but if he doesn't.
Oh, dude, we didn't do the news thing. We didn't do the news thing.
The news is over. We don't need it anymore.
Well, that's a goodbye news thing now.
Stop lagging, Fozzie.
Am I lagging?
No.
Damn it! Shut up.
Alright, we'll be back. All right, so we're back. We all picked out a topic to talk about, and I'm gonna throw it over to Sarah for the first one.
Okay. What I wanted to talk about today was, is 3D technology the new frontier? Because obviously Nintendo's taking a new step here with 3DS, and they were the first one to really get into the motion control. So I was just, you know, kind of tossing around in my head wondering if, you know, since they were the first ones to do motion control and everyone kind of followed their lead, if they were going to do the same with the 3D technology. And, you know, personally, I think it would be pretty badass if Microsoft especially went in that direction. I love the Kinect. As gimmicky and silly as it is sometimes, I think Microsoft has a lot going for it there. For me, they definitely won the motion control race. So I would love to see them implement 3D somehow. Might be a little creepy, but...
Can I respond to this first?
Sure.
Yes, no. Jeff, you can respond first.
It really seems like the whole entertainment industry is really trying to shove 3D down our throats. Like, they're just, like, trying to create demand for it. But the one problem with, like, say, Kinect doing it or something, it's dependent on you having the right TV to make it work, which most people don't right now. So, and honestly, to me, like, 3D, it's only worked when I've gone to theme parks where they've built an entire multi-million-dollar attraction around that 3D experience. Even in the theater, I don't get much of anything added to my experience from 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, this isn't going to happen within the next, you know, year or two, but I mean more just, like, future, long-term.
Well, for me, I think that it could... I mean, there's two different ways that we can go from here. It could be kind of a gimmick where it'll just die out in a couple years, and that... I'm thinking that holograms can be something of the future, and I actually... Dude, I'm serious. Don't laugh.
Fucking holograms.
Fucking Time Traveler in the arcades, man.
I'm just saying that, like, everyone's gathered around a couch, and then you have, like, I'll
put it on... And Obi-Wan can talk to you.
I was talking on the Skype thing about this thing called the Microsoft Surface, which is kind of just this
that
TV
cool.
that they put flat on, like, a table, and then you can, like, touch it, like a touchscreen type thing. And that's pretty sweet. I think that could be, like, the future. And then the hologram, laughing at me now, but I think that maybe by the year, like, 2016, 2017, we can see something like that where people are gathered around this one thing, and, like, you could watch a football game or something, like, on a hologram, which I think would be awesome.
I definitely think it's going to happen within our generation.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe, yeah, I don't know when it's going to happen per se, but, we'll go 2016 for me. But until then, I think that, you know, 3D, I think for 3D to really take off, they need to remove the glasses, because, you know, that's just, I don't like that whatsoever. And I think that's really their only turn-off, just having to wear those.
I think 3D is like a short-term gimmick that's just going to keep popping up. It gets better and better, but like I honestly think the technology Kinect is the future of like interactive entertainment.
So you're thinking more motion than just watching in 3D?
Well, not just motion, but just using your body, using your voice. And I think eventually you'll be able to control stuff with your brain, like be able to control...
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they've already kind of done that just in very, like, mini-cool things, but...
No, they have. I've seen a thing on 60 Minutes where a lady was moving a cursor with her brain, like, on a screen.
Oh, cool.
I don't know how, but yeah.
Fucking
I can't wait.
We're going to become so lazy as humans. Everything just
like the people in Wall-E.
Just like in Wall-E, yeah, exactly. We're just on our seats, just driving around.
I basically already am, but.
Oh, Jeff, awesome.
Personally, I don't think 3D is going to be that next big thing. 3D TVs are not selling all that well. And I mean, granted, they're still kind of cost prohibitive.
Yeah,
but
expensive.
It's also, 3D doesn't work for everybody. There is a segment of the population where they just don't get any effect out of it. So paying extra for it, if you don't get anything out of it and all you're seeing is like blurred images, it's kind of a waste of money. Plus, on top of that, as Fozzie, you said that once they get rid of the glasses, it kind of makes it a little easier for everybody. But
yeah,
like people that wear glasses or contacts, like I do, rumors are that like looking at the 3DS, like you can actually get a headache from focusing on it.
Really?
If you're wearing contacts and like something that's going to cause me pain. I'm not really into that, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna test that out at PAX,
because
I'm blind as a bat without my glasses or contacts.
Yeah.
So I just, hopefully I'll get enough time.
I just heard this week on the Giant Bombcast, Brad Shoemaker and Vinny Caravella were both talking about their experience last week at the 3DS event, and they both said that, you know, it's hard to focus if you move your eyes off of it and like look to the other screen. You'll start to get a headache because your eye is like starting to strain. Kind of like if you're not wearing your glasses and you're trying to see something, like you're squinting and that just doesn't speak well to me. So no, I don't think 3D is going to be that next big push. Maybe holograms, like you guys are saying, or telekinesis, as Jeff is a.
I can only imagine once they start like making sex games with holograms.
Nice.
I will lose all faith in humanity when that happens.
I have some sex games we can.
Jeff is already signed up.
Jeff, the scallywag.
Jeff, did you ever see the Schwarzenegger movie, The Sixth Day?
Yeah, that movie is awesome, dude. Is that the cloning one?
Yeah, I think there's a scene in it though where the guy is like. He has like this brain thing, and like the virtual chick shows up at his house, and he's like getting it on with the hologram.
One day, I guarantee you, there's gonna be shit like that. Guaranteed.
Oh, for sure.
Also, The Sixth Day is awesome.
This is pretty good.
All right, so Tony, what do you say about 3D?
I just wish they would master 2D first. Like, where's my photorealism? Why can't we optimize the technologies we already have? Because we haven't yet. Like, there's still untapped potential in some of these 2D spaces. And I think focusing on those first instead of spending all this money for a technology that's only marketable at this point in time to a really small portion of the population is wasting time and wasting a lot of energy.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys have noticed, like, if you keep an eye on the box office numbers for movies, but... like, unless you are a, like, really big blockbuster 3D movie, like, 3D sales are not pushing the industry at all. Like, Sanctum, which just opened. Now, granted, it's a terrible movie, but it was one of the worst openings for a 3D movie in recent time, so.
You know, I think that you're right where it's saying that we're kind of getting forced into it.
We are.
Like, because I really enjoy IMAX, but the fact that everything is now 3D IMAX, I don't get a fucking choice because of it. Oh, it's really frustrating. I want to see Tron, but for a movie like Tron, you want to see it in, like, IMAX. You want to get that visual awesomeness.
Exactly.
And that sound. 3D. But I don't want... I mean, the 3D wasn't that cool, you know? I mean, it just felt, like you said, gimmickies. Like, when someone throws a glass at you or something, yeah, of course it's going to look 3D to you. That's, you know, but it feels like they just added that in just to get their extra $5 out of me. And I don't want that. I just want to watch a movie in IMAX with awesome sound and awesome fucking video.
And if 3D was something that people really wanted, I think it would have caught on by now. Like, look what happened with the Wii. When that came out with the motion controls, that was on fire right away, you know? Like,
exactly.
We've been pushing this 3D thing now for over a year, and everyone's just like, yeah, it's okay, sometimes, whatever.
Right.
I think 3DS is going to be the litmus test, because I'm excited about that, but that's just one device I'm excited about. I'm not excited about 3D in general.
Yeah.
All right. Tony, what's your topic?
I've been playing a lot, as we mentioned in the game segment, a lot of NBA 2K11, and it's got me thinking about some other sports games and how they could really improve their presentation style.
Specifically Madden.
I am a Maddenite from way back, and I love the new Madden.
Did you say Maddenite?
Madden Knight, yes.
What's wrong with Madden Knight?
Go ahead.
I feel like
Tiberon has really focused a lot.
But allowed the presentation to lag a bit behind. And I just
see Madden look a lot more like NBA 2K11.
In the sense that
getting all of the small
details makes the game feel like so much more of an experience.
Like, I don't know if you guys played through the Madden. This is the one that
really, really bugged me. They had situations like it would be the Baltimore Ravens playing through a game from last season, and Anquan Boldin would be one of your receivers.
Okay.
They used the rosters from the 2010-2011 season in the Madden moments from the year before.
Shouldn't it be recreating the event?
Right, it's supposed to recreate the big situations that occurred last season, except you can't. I mean, you'd have situations where your quarterback was out for the game, and that's why the backup made this huge play, except since it used the roster from this season, that player might not even be on the team anymore.
That's bullshit.
Right.
I mean, they didn't really focus on any sort of details like that at all.
You know, and they've been doing those moments for a couple of years in Madden and Tiger Woods, in NCAA, I think they did it, and it's like, they don't give you the context that much, it's just like throwing the scenario and just play it.
That was the best thing about NBA 2K11 with the Jordan challenge, is that you would go into the game, you would get the entire, like, the announcers would be talking about what happened in the game before and how, like, during Jordan's flu game, how sick he was and what the medical staff was doing to him during the game and that kind of thing.
That's pretty sweet. There's a lot of detail in it.
There was a game, one of the Jordan moments was the one where he scored 38 points in the first half against the Trailblazers. And then after he hit his sixth consecutive three-pointer, he, like, did the shoulder shrug. And they actually had the shoulder shrug on the court while the game was going on.
Yeah.
Just, like, that kind of thing would, like, it could take Madden to the next level.
And yeah.
No, I agree.
I mean, not that the thing is that Madden on its own without that is still a really, really decent game. But in order to be considered this upper echelon, amazing AAA title, like, it has to do this, and they have
And NBA 2K11 was a unique sports game in the fact that people actually consider it a game of the year. And for a sports game to be considered a game of the year, it has to be more than exceptional. It has to be, like, one of the greatest ones out there. So I think that because you feel like with sports games that they kind of grind it out, it's once a year type thing, you know, they don't pay any attention to it. But this game actually got that attention because it was that detailed. And you know, you're as big a sports fan as I am, Tony, and you know the one thing that you look for in sports, the reason that makes it so great, is the passion in it. And to be honest, with a lot of these sports games, you don't see it. You just see these stale faces on these animations, on these characters. You don't see that passion that they have for the game.
Well, yeah, there's no... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and when you see that shoulder shrug, when you see, like, No, him doing the like the lip thing or like the tongue thing and
they
and
have
shit.
The tongue. Like when you go up for a dunk, he
and
sticks
that's,
his tongue out.
And that's what makes it memorable. The fact that they have that type of stuff makes it memorable. It's him. But like when you have something stale, like if they didn't have that shoulder shrug or like the tongue thing, you wouldn't think that's Jordan. But the fact that they have that extra stuff in there, that little extra, it pushes it over to make it great.
Yeah, I don't understand why EA doesn't do that with Madden, because I used to work at a game store, and the Madden release, like, I would have to call the people who pre-ordered it and remind them that we were going to have a midnight release, and everyone always showed up. It was always a huge, huge event, and I worked at a small game store.
Right.
And they know it's going to sell. They have to know it's going to sell. It sells every year, so I don't understand why they don't just step it up, go the extra mile.
That's why. They have no competition.
The fact that they're just getting barely by, it's like the Guitar Hero fucking games, except this doesn't fade.
Madden players
it never fades from, yeah.
I mean, Madden, I buy it every year. I don't even think about it. Exactly. Madden's coming out. I have it pre-ordered.
Dude, there are people that just buy Madden every year, and they're extremely loyal to the series.
My best friend, that's the only game he plays.
Yeah, me too.
Madden.
I worked 2 midnight releases, and it was pretty much the same people each time.
And it is the same people. And, you know, you can get frustrated with them all you want, but, I mean, the truth is that, I mean, that game sells. It doesn't matter what they put in there, what they put out. As long as your team's in there with their players, they will buy that game.
And I think when it comes to football, I always thought the Madden games were better, like, gameplay-wise.
They are.
I think at this point, though, they've perfected the gameplay. They need to stop tinkering with that every year.
Exactly.
Don't add any features. Don't remove any features. Just change the roster
presentation.
And work on presentation. It's kind of sad that we're still chasing ESPN 2K5 when it comes to presentation with the Madden.
Exactly. I mean, 2K5 with Chris Berman, I mean, the halftime show was fucking amazing. Like, you would see the replays and it... Oh.
Even though the game wasn't as fun to play as Madden, it was more fun to play because of that, I thought. I mean,
I like the first-person mode, too. That was so much fun. Like, you would, like, get in, like, the pregame and stuff, and you're all huddled up and shit. I mean, presentation-wise, it was light years ahead of Madden.
And that
it
was,
still is.
That's, like, 6 years, 7 years ago on PS2.
It was, yeah, it was on an Xbox. It wasn't even on this generation.
I mean, the stuff that they could do now, that's why I got out of, like, a lot of sports games, because until they do that, I don't care anymore. I could go play Madden 08, and I get the same experience. I don't care. I don't care about the rosters, whatever. I mean, until you make it like, until you bring in the human element of sports, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what makes 2K11 so great, and, you know, such a potential for Game of the Year.
Alrighty, I think we've exhausted the hell out of that.
Okay.
My topic is you know, it's how player investment in an environment keeps us coming back for more. So basically, like, if you get invested in something like, say, Hyrule for Zelda, like, you want to go back and play in that world, and sometimes, you know, maybe we're neglecting new IPs because of that, because we want to stay in something that's familiar. We enjoy where we are in there. Bring us up mostly because I read a couple posts this week on the IGN blogs, basically saying that, you know, there are these games that we don't need anymore. And some of the games that came up were games that, like, I'm actually looking forward to, like Gears of War 3, like Modern Warfare 3. Like, I just want to see how these stories continue on, how they end. And I'm invested in those worlds. Like, I'm invested in the Mass Effect universe. I want to see what happens in that universe.
Right.
So, what are some, you know, that you guys are invested in?
I just thought the first thing that came to mind was me having the opposite experience with Metal Gear Solid 4. Because I hadn't played any of the previous games.
What?
And I hopped into it, and I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on here.
Right.
Of course, I didn't end up finishing it because there were, you know, 10 hours.
Cutscenes that you have no idea what's going on.
Cutscenes, right? I'm just like, who's that? Who's that? I think that's fan service, but having not been a fan, I have no idea.
It probably was fan service if it was Metal Gear 4.
Yeah. So.
Jeff,
Game World I really love, and you could send me back there three or four more times is Rapture from BioShock.
Right.
God, I mean that was so good, man. I thought BioShock 2 was good.
It wasn't bad.
I mean, it's cool. Like the next one's gonna be completely different, almost like its own new game. But that world like really stuck with me. The whole underwater city. You fall on Utopia or whatever.
I have not touched my copy of BioShock 2 yet.
It's good.
It's a decent game.
One of these days.
Yeah, I have to admit I haven't played it yet either. My bad.
You can pick it up for like $5 now.
Yeah, I know. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
That's why I have it.
Of course, there's Hyrule, which I can never get enough of. If you don't love Hyrule, you're not a gamer.
That's a crappy Zelda game, right?
Like, all you guys on here don't play Zelda.
Shut
up. I'm the one... Hey.
None of these guys play Zelda, Sarah.
Are you kidding me?
I have played every Zelda game.
Shut it.
Yeah, I played Zelda. I just don't happen to like Zelda.
It was my first game. So, I don't know. I call it nostalgia. But, Zelda's always going to stick with me. I mean, it has to. I have a tattoo of the Triforce on me.
That's hardcore.
Is it, like, in the pelvic region?
It's on my hip.
Yeah, I called it. That's where I'm going to get one, too. We'll be matching.
Oh, hey, twins.
That's so scary in so many ways. Anyways.
Jeff, keep your shirt on.
I have a couple different ones I want to throw out there. First off, the Shadow of the Colossus world I really enjoyed. I felt that it was very simple, you know, it's just you and your horse and everything and get like a peace of mind, and then you're just going from boss to boss. There's not really that many small bad guys to kill or anything, so I really enjoyed that. It was just a lot of exploration, you know.
That makes me want to cry.
And then Zone of Enders. I love the whole mech thing. Like, I mean,
oh yeah.
I like the characters in the second one. I thought the first one I did not like Leo whatsoever, but Dingo and the red-headed or pink-headed chick. I mean, that I love that game. So I think that those two worlds really stuck out to him for me.
All right, so Fozzie, what's your topic there?
Wait, Sarah, did you pick
sorry.
One?
Oh,
sorry, I just totally skipped her.
Oh, wait.
Hey, I got a piss, but can I throw one more out that I just thought of before I go?
Yes.
Hillis from Beyond Good and Evil. It was a very, like, fully realized world that I loved. It's kind of like Hyrule or something with modern strength.
It's too bad we're never going
back
to that world.
You're not selling that for us at all.
So it's kind of like Hyrule. It's kind of
with
awesome.
Modern technology.
With modern technology.
And it had like, but it had a government. It had a government. It had like a police force. It had a media. Like it was like a real world.
So it's nothing like Hyrule.
I don't trust Jeff's games anymore.
it looks like an adventure.
No, guys.
Except if you whack up and hit a plant,
awesome.
A coin jumps out.
No, yeah. It had,
look,
like,
it's a jewel. I got it.
But with like it had like things from the real world that you would expect in an actual world. Like I don't know.
Did it have a water temple?
No, no, it did.
It had a water temple, but it had cameras.
Sarah, what about you?
Oh, I hate to go back to something, but for me, I always enjoy when games take more of like a realistic world and doing possibly like what could happen. So actually Dead Space, actually recently I really appreciate what that team did with their environments, because a lot of times I would just wander around the rooms and just like kind of explore, and I find like a bunch of little details. There's always writing on the walls, and I don't know, the whole extended universe for Dead Space is really well done. There's a bunch of comics and stuff, and you mentioned Mass Effect as well, and you know, they both really do it for me, just because they keep it pretty realistic. Like, it actually could happen.
Yeah, and definitely.
All that detail and background information, like, showing that they actually, you know, care about making things make sense, you know.
They've created a, like,
the codex. I mean, I was one of those nerds that completely looked at every single codec that you got, and...
Oh, don't worry, I did too.
I was so fascinated. I was like, oh my god, the governments, and then the religions, and then I was like, holy shit. I mean, they put so much effort into that game. And then even each world had their own description of, you know, any past, like, activities that have gone on there, or why it could be famous. I mean, it was great. Like, it was crazy how much effort they put into it, and... I totally agree with you. The Mass Effect universe is probably one of the best ones I've ever played in a game.
Let me throw one more out there to compete with that one. Tamriel from Elder Scrolls.
Oh, yeah, that is true. I gotta go with that.
Oh, Doggy.
That world has been built up so much.
Yeah, it has. I mean, there's so many. Yeah, wow.
I cannot wait for the new one. I think I'm anticipating that for the Mass Effect 3 now.
That is my most played Xbox game. Oblivion is my most played Xbox game. So I have very high expectations for this. I'm kind of scared, but we'll see.
I actually think Oblivion's my most played Xbox game as well.
It's mine as well.
Oh, from 06 to 09, like, that's it. Like, that's all I played.
Oh, it was the first 360 game I ever got.
Yes, it was one of the first ones, like, probably, like, one or first or second. It was great.
I played it for...
It was my second one behind Spider-Man 3. Which was a mistake.
big mistake.
I was like, "No, I love Spider-Man 2. Look at Spider-Man 3. This game's going to be awesome." And it was awful.
Did you go see the movie Thanks first? Activision. You should go to see the movie first. And you were like, "This is going to be awful."
But it has emo Tobey Maguire, so it was.
Oh, awesome. Don't even talk about that.
But he's emo.
It's so
yeah. Did the game have emo Tobey Maguire?
I don't think his personality didn't come through at all.
Did you dance on tables? Was there a rhythm section?
Were you shepherd dancing halfway through the game?
All right, Fozzie, what's your topic?
Yes. Well, my topic was going to be about just how for E3 and stuff, how official and big it's become. Should it only be access to certain websites that hold, like, a major media appeal, you know, that own a good share of online, you know, whatnot, like IGN, Kotaku, Destructoid, something like that, GameSpot, and what have you? Because I first thought about this because someone tweeted on my Twitter earlier today that he thinks that anyone that's unpaid and writes and gets a media pass for E3 should not be allowed to. He was basically complaining that it's become, like, so overpopulated that the people that actually do write in the industry don't get enough time with every game because there's so many
errors. Well, one, they have time to go see it outside of that anyway.
Yes, yes.
They get to go in the game.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, is that they get those exclusives. Like, Greg Miller, he'll get 30 minutes hands-on when we only get, you know, 2 seconds or maybe even a video or something.
And E3 is not just a media event. I think it's not a fan event, but it's not just a media event.
What should be the definition of media? Is it that you're paid or, like, you're just part of a website or something? Because... honestly, I did not think that we'd be able to get E3 passes, and it was really sweet that we were able to, but
come on, the state of games journalism at this point is kind of precarious anyway.
Yeah.
Like, fair. Even what IGN does is pushing the bounds of what journalism is.
Right.
So but much still, of the coverage still, just boils down to, like, reiterating press releases and...
Right.
Listing the features of a game and calling it a review, like...
Right.
That's game journalism. Like, you see a few writers who aren't like that, who actually convey an experience or can actually write well in complete sentences. but, I mean, that's more the exception than the rule. even on a site like IGN, they've had some terrible writers.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know who sent this tweet out, Foz, but that person like has, you know, he kind of, I guess he feels a little bit full of himself that anything he writes is worth more than, you know, what, because guess what, like even if you write for a site that only gets, you know, 10,000 hits a month or whatever, you're still writing for those people, and they deserve to have the content just as much as somebody on IGN.
And it was funny because I replied to him. I was like, "Stupid commenters taking all our caviar and lobster tails from us." Because I mean, seriously, like this guy, like I checked his profile, and he's not like from any big website. He might get paid, but he's freelance. And like, really? I mean, why do you think you're so high and mighty that you get to go, but we can't? For us, it's kind of.
I mean, to go to E3, I mean, I remember when I was 5 or 6 years old and, you know, hearing about this for the first time, like, that's fucking awesome.
So, to be able to say that I've gone at least once, I mean, that's cool, and I think that other people should be able to experience it, because it is something so vast and, like, just so surreal that you're hanging out and you see, like, the Nintendo president, you know, Reggie over there or something, and then you see Adam Sessler, you know, it's just... It's kind of surreal because all you really see these guys are in videos and whatnot. So
it's funny though that like that somebody in the games media would say that, being as you go back and look at like, you know, somebody like Shane Bettenhausen, who back when E3 was in Atlanta, he like worked for like, you know, a Babbage's or something like that.
Right.
And like they would get passes or whatever. And it was only supposed to be for, you know, management, but, you know, he, like, snuck in to, like, go to E3. And, I mean, that's what a lot of these, like, guys who ended up in the industry, like, you know, E3 was getting to go before they had a job was something that kind of drove them to where they are today.
Right, right.
I just think it's funny to hear someone advocating, like, limited access for fucking big corporate entities.
That's so
you know, it's so weird, yeah. You should want as many people as possible participating.
Yeah. I can see where he wants it so that it's only, like, a couple thousand people in there instead of 40,000. But, I mean, still.
I mean, you went last year, but the year before that, it was at a lower scale. Actually, the 2 years before it was at a lower scale. And I don't know if you guys listened to, you know, what the industry vets were saying. But guys like Hillary Goldstein and Jeff Gerstmann, they were all saying that E3 sucked those years.
Yeah, I heard that too.
It didn't have the spectacle. It wasn't, you know, it just seemed like a giant waste of time.
Right, right. And I mean, you want to see those people that are the fanboys out there that really, truly love the consoles. And then that's when you get those reactions when, you know, Miyamoto, you know, he came out and... You know, he's waving the Zelda sword and shield, you know, the 06 E3. And people were in uproar for it. Or then sometimes when you hear, like, crickets when they announce, like, a major console and, like, the pricing. Like, with the fucking $5.99 price tag. I mean, it's just... It's funny. Like, it's cool to hear because these guys kind of do represent us that can't go to the E3s, you know? So, like I said, I would like to see more people. I would like it to be as much as a fan thing as a media too. So I'm not. It's not like I was in agreement with him. I could see his point, but at the same time, you know, it really should be, you know, not for everyone, but people that truly enjoy the fucking, you know, gaming.
I kind of think it should be for everyone. Like you look at Tokyo Game Show.
Right.
You look at it's not Leipzig anymore, but is it Gamescom over in Germany? Like they have their press days that are just for press, but then it's open to the public. Like
they get to go see. And that's a good idea too.
That's a really good idea.
You get all that user feedback. You know, you can be a small company and make your way just through that because the public comes out and tries your shit.
And I mean, all we, and then like you said.
And like you said, you have those private days where you can schedule a 30-minute hands-on demo with those major companies like IGN or, you know, like GameSpot or something. So maybe they should just revamp the system a little bit, like you said. Make it so that there's public days and make it so it's private as well, you know?
Right now, all we have is fans, and I mean, I don't mean to like disparage, I love PAX, But that's all we have as fans, really, for games. Like,
right.
And there's no incentive for the big companies to really bring their, you know, their newest and hottest stuff to those events because,
yeah.
you know, E3 is where they're going to get all that.
Exactly, that national attention.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. You know, it's always, I like to see where other people are coming from every now and then. I thought that it was kind of a douchey thing to say, but, you know, it is what it is. I was like, get off your high horse, dude. It's not like you're that important. I've never even heard of you before.
So, Jeff, why don't you close us out? What's your...
Speaking of douchey things to say.
Hey-o.
All Jeff has to do is open his mouth. Oh.
No, it's just... All right. We're gonna talk about gamer girls and
we're getting really hardcore here.
Yeah, gamer girls that want to make it in the industry quotation marks.
Here we go.
I've noticed an influx of this. It's like better like a trend on my IGN with all these girls coming in and they're like, hee hee tee hee, I'm a gamer girl. You know, love me and you gotta hire me and this and that. And I want to be in the industry. And there's a couple of things that are annoying about it to me. I hope I'm not alone on this, but one thing that annoys me about it is that, like, that's, like, their whole... That's how they identify themselves. Like, that's their personality. It's like, I'm a girl, and I play games. And it's like, yeah, right. Well, I'm a dude, I play games, but I also have other interests, too. Like, I like literature, I like movies, I like to write. Like, the other half of it is, it's like they want to get hired... somewhere in the industry doing God knows what. And I'm guessing it's like they want to follow like the Jessica Chobot like example where you're like you look pretty in front of a camera and you're like the on camera person or whatever. It just saddens me that there's not more that are like I like to write, like I'm into that, like I want to do that side of it, or I want to do editing, or I want to design games or whatever, you know what I mean? It's often just I like video games and you should hire me because
Well, do you think that, I mean, IGN kind of brought that a little bit on themselves when they offered that position. They made it such a big thing, like, you want to be on camera or the next Jess or something. That's how they're kind of promoting it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they weren't, like, they're not, like...
Just that position, though, there was, like, this kind of, like, onslaught of, like...
No, I agree, you know, and they feel that, you know, oh, well, I'm on the blog, so I can kind of get to know them. Because, I mean, in the end, there's millions of writers out there, you know, but it's not what you know, it's who you know. So, I mean, you know, right. I mean, that's...
I don't know what my question is. It's just, you know, are they there because they think it's an easy thing to get into?
Right.
Are they genuinely into games?
Are they genuinely trying to be your friend is what you have to ask yourself, too. Like, are they there just to, like... just get into IGN and be like, oh, well, see you guys, you know, no need for you guys anymore? Or are they there to really talk about games or, like, you know, have a common interest with you?
I mean, all right, before we get into this further, I'll preface this by saying my ex-girlfriend was really into games, too. We played games all the time, but she didn't identify herself as a gamer girl. She didn't have posters of fucking video games on her wall.
Right.
She didn't have, like, video game bras, and she didn't, like, that wasn't...
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like...
Sarah, do you have any video game underwear?
So, how much of this is Jeff complaining
that. I'm
about...
I'm not going to answer that question. No comment.
There you go. I plead the fifth.
I think Jeff is just complaining about something he wanted in his past that he didn't get.
He's like, no video
game. No,
he had this, like, Zelda fantasy and it just never happened.
Well, I will fulfill that at PAX. I'm just saying, like, where do you... Where do you
I came very subtle. That's a little scary.
You better not,
like, fucking lock the doors up.
I'm going to have you some Link cosplay sex at fucking PAX. It's going to be hot.
Look, my name is Doctor.
Staying away from your room.
Wow, yeah. You.
You're
in our room. Damn it, no.
I'm bringing an x-ray thing just to make sure.
So who's Link and who's Zelda?
Jeff's obviously.
Cody, go ahead, buddy.
That's yours.
I'm just wondering where you guys think this comes from. Are these girls that come on there genuine? And, like, what do they really think they have to offer? Like, are most of them there for, they want, like, an on-camera job? Like, what? I just don't get it. I don't know. You guys discuss.
No, I see what you're saying. I feel that, you know, some of them, I mean, what have they proven themselves? I mean...
I think you have to prove you have some sort of value to a community. Like, they haven't proven that they belong in the community that they're trying to influence at this point, let alone get a job overseeing that community. Go ahead, Sarah.
Since I'm the only female here...
Yes, give us your sense, please.
Yeah, I have a theory. now...
Okay.
I'm going to choose my words carefully because I don't want to get beat up
is there
by other girls. Because I totally agree with you guys. What I've noticed and what I seem to think is it's like any other outlet where girls want to get attention. I feel like it's mostly an insecurity / attention whore issue, because I know a couple people that we're kind of hinting at here, no names, that mostly it's more of an ego thing. They just like having all of these fans and followers and people loving them because, you know, they've been in bad relationships. And, you know, I guess it's an easy way in, you know, because most of these girls are, I don't think a lot of them, bless you.
Thank you.
I don't think a lot of them are faking it. I'm pretty sure a majority of these girls actually, you know, legitimately are into games, or else they wouldn't be able to pull it off. But I think it's mostly they're just kind of using it to their advantage because they want attention.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's an attention thing.
I mean, they're into games and like, oh, look at this is an easy way to, like, this is an easy job or something, you know, like, to get into because I'm into games. Like, that's what I think it is, but
yeah.
What are you offering?
Yeah, because they're like, oh, because I'm a girl... I'm rare in to be liking this. There's, you know, hardly any gamer girls, so I'm going to try and get into this just because I'm a girl and it'll be easy. But really, it's not. I mean, you still have to prove yourself one way or another, just like anyone else would.
Right.
And it's not rare anymore that girls play games. It's becoming common.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's definitely more common.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, whenever anyone, you know, throw the words gamer girl around me, I always quickly correct them, like, just take the girl part out. I'm a gamer. You know, and I try not to be, you know, douchey about it, but I really don't like labels like that just because the whole title has garnered kind of a stigma after a while, and I don't like being identified and thrown in with that because I try my hardest not to be like that because I, you know, I just like to play games.
So you're just a gamer? What? No, I don't like this at all. I'm just going to have to stick with girl gamer. You're just going to have to accept it, young lady.
Great, thanks.
Fozzie has spoken.
Done. I think the interesting thing about these online communities is that any idiot can get involved, and there's no like sort of qualification. So, I mean, you've got a ton of people who are completely clueless as to what the industry is actually about and what's really going on, and they're just throwing out flights of fancy. And of course, since they're all talking together, it just gets worse and worse and gets more and more built up. But I mean, I think all these gamer girls and their throng of adoring males, they're just wasting their own time. Because I mean, none of them are going to get anything out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the males are just as sad.
If not sadder.
Yeah.
Like to actually, I think some of the males have the same problem that the girls do. I mean, they've never had female attention, and here's this attractive girl talking to me
over
the
Zelda.
Webcam, and hey, just wow, yeah, it's my dream girl, yay! And,
Jeff, aren't you going to get a Triforce tattoo?
Totally am.
Jeff, you can go get it in Boston. I'll go with you.
Oh,
crazy, dude.
Could you imagine? You should definitely get it at Boston.
Oh my
Jeff
god.
Jeff might bleed out. Like,
yeah, he's like, too much alcohol. It's all bloody.
Probably.
Can't buy a place. Oh god. That's awesome.
Alright.
This was a good topic week. We should give each other a round of applause. Yay. A
little golf clap.
All right, let's move on to a listener mail.
On that note.
Yeah. Mail. It's mail.
It doesn't matter.
Breaking news. We've got mail in.
Alright. So, the one we got in our email box here, I see, comes from Gigawatt Conduit.
Super fan.
Super fan, Gigawatt Conduit. He said the question from a few weeks ago about new IPs wasn't phased right. He means to ask, instead, how is THQ is doing their entire transmedia blowout for Homefront? Do you think they're jumping the gun a bit? Like, evidently there's going to be a book, a movie, etc. for Homefront.
Really?
I didn't know anything about that, but...
They really, I mean, they have a huge marketing campaign for this thing. They're probably over-invested for...
I don't think it's going to sell all that for much.
Game that nobody cares about and no one's right. seen anything of.
But guys, it's Homefront, it's on our home.
If we market it enough, they will come.
I'm there.
Yes. Really?
You're there? You're there.
I'm there.
Wow.
Kill the Chinese.
You're Koreans. You're fucking...
Those slanty-eyed peoples, we gotta kill them.
Oh, that's nice.
I enjoy when...
In Asia, they're gone now. That's bad. Sorry, Asian friends of ours.
Japanese, Vietnamese...
Aren't you technically kind of over near Asia, Ozzy?
I am an Asian, what can I say?
Well, then it's okay if you make fun of them, because you're Asian too.
That is true, I allow it, so...
Fozzie is the whitest Asian on the planet.
Fozzie is eyes wide shut.
Eyes wide shut. That pretty much best describes me.
With Homefront, I mean, if Homefront is good, I'll buy it.
It's not.
Done. But if it's not, then you've wasted all your money on all these extra things.
You blew it.
I mean, THQ is a fringe developer as it is. Or publisher, I should say. They're... putting all their eggs in a basket that might not be very well made.
Right.
I mean, when EA did it with Dead Space, I mean, you could definitely say there was a risk to it because nobody really knew what Dead Space was going to be.
Right.
But EA also has a shit ton of money behind them. So.
And they did do the same thing with Dead Space. Like, yeah. I was just thinking that, and it paid off because...
It paid off so well. I love when games do extra marketing. And all the crazy side projects with it. I love it.
It's good for games that you think are going to be underrated.
I think THQ, if I was THQ, I would throw an insane amount of money into Saints Row 3. I think people underestimate how much that series makes.
That game is fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Really fun.
Darksiders.
Darksiders is great. I think Saints Row is an established franchise at this point that they should really be pouring money into.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Jeff.
Oh.
They're perennial bestsellers. Saints Row 2, I still sell multiple copies of that a day.
I hate them.
I enjoy them. They're fun.
Yeah, Saints Row 2, you can smoke marijuana.
Awesome. Hell yeah. Do some insurance fraud. Hell yeah.
Gigawatt's second question is, what other franchises do you think Activision will disown like a bastard child, and when? His money is on Call of Duty by 2013.
No.
I'm going with Prototype.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. It's going.
Can I second that or third it if Jeff Worry seconded it?
I can't believe it got a sequel to begin with.
I don't understand anything. That's like the apocalypse coming. I was like, what is this? It was not fun after 5 minutes. I was like, oh, sweet, I'm right up a wall. Oh, sweet, I can destroy everything. This is boring now.
Oh, I hated it.
Now I'm in a room with a bunch of guys that want to kill me in this game.
Not
sucks.
To mention Infamous, like, came out at the same time. It's like having Prototype was the ugly girl, and then you have the hot girl, and it just, Prototype made the hot girl look that much hotter. So, like, Infamous looked like fucking Game of the Year shit compared to Prototype. You're like, holy god, this is the greatest game ever.
That was a really good analogy.
I mean, if the ugly girl was good in bed, then you might have some competition.
Well, too bad Prototype doesn't suck.
This one, unfortunately, cuts things off of you.
It does. So, it's just a losing combo. Hot girl wins in the end.
Great analogy.
Thank you.
All right. right, so what else we got mail-wise?
Daxter23Jack asked, do you guys think Microsoft will carry all of the achievements earned on the 360 to their next generation console?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I think that's a definite. I think people are sold on
that. Achievements, definitely.
And part two of that is, if so, how important do you think this will be when people have to decide between their next generation console?
Huge.
Absolutely. Well, it depends. Is Nintendo going to let me bring my friend code?
No.
Oh, God. No, but like PS3 and like trophies or achievements, I mean, people have spent a few years.
I've spent
like
a lot of time designing my Wii Me. If I can't import it, then I'm out.
Exactly. I think like the stuff on PS3 and 360 will transfer. I don't think it will make any difference.
Yeah, people are really into all of their personalized user information with their game identities, so I think if you can't transfer it, it's going to be...
Do you think that they'll be able to transfer all the downloaded stuff like Xbox Live stuff in, though?
That's a good question.
Hopefully.
That's what I'm saying, is that we've spent $200 on all this extra stuff that we're not even be able to transfer over.
Well, I'm sure it'll probably... I mean, on Xbox's website, you can already do a lot of stuff.
Question. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm sure they'll upgrade it at some point where you can, like, I don't know, I don't usually use Xbox on my in my browser, but can you buy, like, Avatar stuff, like, on the website?
Yeah.
Or?
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, on the website? Can you?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can you?
Okay.
See, I'm really worried about my Wii stuff, because I've spent probably $1,000 downloading Virtual Console games and shit like that, and I highly doubt they'll transfer it, so...
Yeah, you
don't have, like, an account number or anything. It's just out there.
Well, once Nintendo moves on, you might as well have just gone and flushed $1,000 down the toilet.
Yeah.
Unless the new Nintendo Wii can consume the other Wii... And then just take the movie out.
The new Nintendo.
Oh, like Highlander, there can only be one.
Kind of like the Trapper Keeper from South Park.
It's like a giant Kirby.
Trapper Keeper.
Yes, it's the next Nintendo Kirby. Okay, so stay at your house, it's gonna watch you sleep at night.
That's really creepy.
Yes. Like fucking yeah.
Alright, what else we got?
Ray Squared.
Oh shit.
Oh, hey, Ray.
Do you think since Activision opened up a new studio to develop Call of Duty had anything to do with the cancellation of Guitar Hero franchise and True Crime Hong Kong?
No.
Wait, are you reading that from... Oh, yeah, I see.
This is from Twitter.
I think they canceled Guitar Hero and True Crime because Guitar Hero is...
dying.
Yeah, it's been showing significantly less return for their investment. And True Crime, you know...
was sucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it really had anything to do with Call of Duty.
No. If Guitar Hero still had some legs on it, I mean, why would they cancel it? I mean, it just mean that they would expand more, but they don't need to expand more, so they're just like, all right, see ya. You suck.
Yeah, they made a business decision based on dollars, exactly. So it has nothing to do with Call of Duty.
Exactly.
And his second question, do we need a new Call of Duty every year?
No.
I like having one every year. It's nice.
I mean, as long as they're good games, I don't care. But I don't think we need one every year.
No.
I play good games. So if you're going to release a good game every year, I'll play it. That's fine.
That's my big issue with people saying that, you know, we don't need this every year. We don't need that every year. Like, as long as it's still good, I don't care. Once the quality drops, then we can have the argument over whether we need it or not. But when it all comes down to it, we don't need any of the games. Like,
right?
Like, games are a want. They're not a necessity. So
just got really philosophical in here.
No, but there are certain things like Call of Duty. Even if it's good every year, you're playing it over and over. It's the same thing. You're spending $60 on it. And you're just kind of like, it kind of does get old after a while.
But then, you know, then don't buy it anymore.
I'm not.
Okay.
The multiplayer is the same, but, you know, I only played through the Black Ops single-player campaign because I didn't really care about the multiplayer because it was, you know, very similar to how Modern Warfare 2 was. I mean, of course they made changes, but I don't really like Call of Duty's multiplayer anyway.
Because it sucks.
But, I mean, they actually, even though Black Ops came out, you know, soonish in comparison to the last one, but... the single-player campaign was still really good, and they had, you know, Hollywood voice talent, and the story was good. I mean,
yeah, Sam Worthington did a good job.
Oh, yeah, he did amazing. So, I mean, I don't really mind if they come out with one every year as long as they keep the quality level up.
Fucking Jeff. I agree. I'm just going to throw this out there. You guys might hate me for it, but
I
liked Modern Warfare. I've liked Modern Warfare 1 and 2 story. Like, it's
pretty entertaining.
I want to see what happens in 3.
Yeah, it's a typical action flick, but fuck it, it works for me.
I got really upset during Modern Warfare 2, during that one part.
Sorry, if people haven't beaten it by now, they deserve
it. The terrorist level, like at the end or whatever, is that it?
The part where they light the two guys on fire?
Yeah, where they light the guys on fire. I was really, really upset. I was just like, that sucks. And then Soap goes crazy, and I was just, during that whole last few levels, I was just like, I was right there with him. I was just like, oh, I gotta get revenge. That was horrible. Like,
oh,
it was
just really rough. And, I mean, some people, I guess, they enjoy it. I like that little slow motion part at the end where, like, you have to take the fucking knife out and you're just like, see ya, you're dead.
It was so badass.
it was satisfying, to say the least. So, I don't know. You know, it's like watching Jersey Shore. You don't want to play it because you're just, like, adding fuel to the fire, but it's so damn good to watch. It's such a guilty pleasure. It's such a guilty pleasure.
No, I agree with you. I don't hate you there. I really like the single-player modes on Modern Warfare.
Yeah. It's a simple, it's, you know, typical action flick, and it works. So
I like them both, too. I actually like the stories in both. And you guys know I don't really care for stories. And, you know, I didn't think they were well done that much, but I enjoyed the stories in them.
They're fun.
Yeah. So. All right.
Any more questions? Is that it?
That's all I have.
Let's see here. I actually had one. What's up, Jeff? Go ahead.
I got nothing, so.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sir.
Loves me.
BJK394, he actually wrote something similar to what Ray did. Do you think the opening of a new Call of Duty development studio means we'll be seeing more than one Call of Duty game a year?
That's a possibility.
Okay.
I think it's a wrong possibility.
Yeah. I think Activision, if they look at what happened, if they learn lessons from the past, no. But it's definitely a possibility.
I think what we'll actually see is some sort of persistent Call of Duty, some sort of MMO.
Well, they've talked about that.
Yeah, I think if there's a second release, that's what it will be.
Like, I think it'll be huge. Multiplayer only.
Maybe Call of Duty Facebook or something.
Like maybe.
Oh God.
Or like no, like they release like a Call of Duty with all the maps from Modern Warfare on it, and like they'll keep adding maps, and it'll be tied into Facebook or something like that. Like I think that could happen. I think it's going to happen. They basically openly said it's going to happen.
That's like an ideal, though. Do you really think they'll do that? I mean, it's Activision we're talking about.
Charge for the new maps. Charge to play every month. I guarantee they can use
the World of Warcraft business model. I'm sure it's doable.
There would be people, like, even people that don't, you know, you never think would do that, will do that for Call of Duty.
You talk about the people who buy Madden every year, and that's all they buy. There are people who do the same thing with Call of Duty, and those people will subscribe. I have one friend who plays nothing but Black Ops, and I see him on every day.
Yeah. I work at a restaurant, and literally every cook at that restaurant, like, none of them are real gamers. All of them play Call of Duty together.
Right,
that's like the only thing they play. It's ridiculous.
Sure. Absolutely.
Fucking X.
Play a real game. Like Halo.
Or like Epic Mickey.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna spray some paint thinner on you.
That just sounded like a death threat. Like,
so
I'm not sure if you should be flattered, sir, or really scared.
I don't know.
Was that directed at me, or was that just in general?
I don't know.
I'm just saying you should wear a poncho for the next few days.
Oh, God.
That got really scary real quick.
Sweet. Can't wait.
I'll just keep it.
We had a couple more questions.
Knock them out, Buzz.
These are pretty stupid.
All right, well, lay it off.
There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Gabe writes, what is the meaning of life, and is it all about shoulder missiles or just a little bit? That's pretty much
it. Okay, that is a stupid question. Never mind. Yeah.
There's that no is. Such thing as stupid questions, just stupid people.
And yeah, Melissa Quad Skater basically wrote the same thing about the shoulder missiles again. So we'll skip to actually Melissa did send in a real question. And it says, I am really wanting to get a PS3. However, now that the PSP2 or NGP have been announced, I'm having doubts. Should I wait?
No, get a PS3. Yeah. It's an incredible
thing. She's saying, like, should she wait for one of these portable consoles or should she just get...
No. Portable suck. Get a PS3.
It's awesome. Yeah. I agree. I think that you might regret getting a PSP2 or NGP because you'll play your PS3 a lot more.
Yeah, unless you plan on, you know, living at a bus stop in the near future. get a PS3.
You also gotta think in terms of software, like, the catalog for the PS3 now is massive, and the catalog for the PSP2 or the NGP or whatever the hell it is gonna be insignificant.
It's gonna have
at least
to
for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say if you're gonna get the quote-unquote NGP, I hate calling it that, I'd wait just because, you know, it could be buggy at first.
Yeah.
And we'll have
to mention, yeah, I mean...
Always get the second iteration of the hardware.
Yeah.
And always round out your home consoles first before you move on to that shit.
Righto. Okay. I have one more. Again, they're a pretty stupid one, but this one's actually for Mushroom.
Question. Who is that?
Question from Anonymous. On a scale of 1 to 10, just how amazingly attractive is Tony?
I have no idea what he looks like.
Obviously. What?
Obviously.
No, not that Tony. Fucking LaBeef from goddamn Tiny Chat.
No. This question has to be about me because it came to our podcast.
Wait, did you say that was from Mushrooms? Because that wasn't me.
No, that was for you from Anonymous.
Oh.
And he was asking, I don't know who this Anonymous source is, but he was asking how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how attractive is Tony?
Wait, who? Well, alright, you
said... I can't answer that because they're not specifying which Tony.
Well, and obviously, as the only Tony here, I mean, it must be me, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a clear 10 out of 10, so...
You have a question mark above your head, dude.
Yeah, I don't know what you look like, so I can't really give an accurate reading.
Sorry, Tony, you should put Shia LaBeouf. You might have understood, but
of course, Bozzy looks like a dog.
I don't think a camera can actually capture the essence of Tony. That's why I don't have a picture.
God damn it, Tony! We're not even talking about you, ego bastard.
I think if I walked past Napo in a fucking in Logan Airport, I would know. I could be sitting next to him on the
floor. I would know what that man looks like. That is true. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a picture of him. I have. I've had the honor.
You posted one on your blog, boss. Right?
Did I?
Was that you? No, maybe that was Bees.
Maybe.
I want to see.
I'm driving to the Boston. So.
You guys are like...
That's close. Right.
Oh, yeah, you guys are driving. Everyone's driving to Boston.
Driving with Ozzy.
Except Jeff.
That's so ridiculous.
Dude, that's like a bad omen now for me. I'm scared as fuck.
I'll take a bus to my house. I'll drive you.
There you go.
I wasn't getting in the train options. Like, there's no trains.
Dude, take a train.
We have no infrastructure in this country.
Is there a train to Philly?
Yeah, there is, I think.
But you already
take
paid
a train
for
to Philly.
I'm committed to flying.
Yeah, you're now flying.
I hate you all.
Sorry.
Enjoy being molested.
Enjoy being molested. Enjoy taking off your shoes and going through that, like, air duster thing. It's like... It's fucking weird as hell. It, like, blows air at you. Like, oh, you don't have any weapons. Move ahead.
See, I haven't flown since any of that stuff started.
Oh, my God, yeah. You haven't been there since, like, 01. I don't care
about that stuff, though.
Jeff's going to request a strip search.
Seriously, dude, and when you go on the plane, do not bring anything more than 3 ounces, or they will throw that shit away.
That's why I'm
even if it is,
bags.
Like, $50 cologne. I've lost a lot of cologne bottles. Food. Yeah.
My bags are going to just be filled with, like, t-shirts and booze.
I'm going Boston.
There's a liquor store right by the hotel, dude.
Yeah, I'm going shopping once we get there.
Or like that? Okay.
Yeah, dude, we picked the hotel right, dude. It's all.
So, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I think that about wraps it.
Hey, there's a podcast too.
Now we're even recording.
Sarah, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I had fun. Yeah,
thanks for coming along, Sarah.
Come back on sometime. Give us a little estrogen.
Sure, no problem.
Somebody's got to balance out Jeff.
Yeah.
He's too masculine.
So you'll be at PAX, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And she might have actually a podcast coming up though. She's been talking to a couple other people, so
yeah, maybe
we're still
in the works.
No,
yeah, I'll actually
for her.
Yeah, I'll actually be arriving to PAX with Fozzie. We're road tripping with two other guys.
Oh, you're on it too. That's right. They're gonna pick you up.
Hell yeah!
It's going to be ridiculous.
You guys are nuts.
Well, Fozzie, you got to bring her to the party on Thursday night, then.
Yeah, she's coming. Yeah. We're all coming.
All I know is Dr. Fiazzi, you better be checked in by
Dr. Fit. Oh, I hope so, dude. Dr. Fiazzi might be, he's going to try his Dr. Best to get there. Stat.
Well, Jeff, I mean, if you have to, you can hang out in our room until Fozzie gets there.
All right. That'll work.
I would like to meet Jeff drunk anyways. I think that's the proper way of meeting him.
Wait, I guarantee you I'll be lit after the fight.
Have you guys met yet?
I've met Chris, but I have not met Jeff or Tony. But yeah, should be fun.
Like, cartoon hearts are going to be coming out of your head. It's going to be awesome.
They already are.
I'm very excited. Very excited. Month away.
Yeah. Lots of fun to be had.
Lots of fun.
Oh man, this is my first trip in years, so I'm excited.
You better get your liver prepared.
It is. As prepared as it'll ever be, but I mean, I'm not even there to play the games or do any of that shit. I just want to hang out and fucking
party.
Yeah, dude, we're going to party all fucking day and night.
Sweet. Okay. I'm gonna die then.
Tony, you have no responsibilities that vacation, so we are getting drunk and we are going to get
drunk.
It's
going to be
funny. Oh, excellent.
I just got to be able to drive on Sunday, so.
Yay.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Join us up next week.
Well, see you later.
I don't even know how to end this show. It's been a fucking clusterfuck.
You'd have, like, basketball goodbyes, too.
Have fun editing.
Yeah, I will.
Oh,
Jeff, sing your little basketball ditty.
Leave me now.
You take away the biggest part
of me.
I think she wanted me to do do-do-do.
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Okay. Go ahead.
That's all I got.